I want to welcome everyone to our service of worship today. It's great that we can gather together as Christians of across various lines. I know that at times we might feel a little isolated in a small group in our own congregations, but we need to remember the height, the depth, the breadth, and the width of the body of Christ, not only in Burlington, but around the world. Through the lighting of the Christ candle, we remember Jesus' presence in our midst. And through the lighting of the Christ candle, we open ourselves to the love and grace of God that we celebrate in worship. We'll now join together in hymn number 28, In More Voices. It's the soft-covered hymn book. There's only one in each pew. We don't have lots of them, but the words will also be up on the screen. God of the Bible. Please stand.
God of the Bible, God in the gospel, hope seen in Jesus, hope yet to come. You are our center, daylight or darkness, freedom or prison, you are our home. Fresh as the morning, sure as the sunrise, always faithful, you do not change. Fresh as the morning, sure as the sunrise, God always faithful, you do not change. God in our struggles, God in our hunger, suffering with us, taking our part. Still you empower us, mothering spirit, feeding, sustaining from your own heart. Fresh as the morning, sure as the sunrise, God always faithful, you do not change. Fresh as the morning, sure as the sunrise, God always faithful, you do not change. Those without status, those who are nothing, you have made royal, gifted with rights, chosen as partners, midwives of justice, birthing new systems, lighting new ways. Fresh as the morning, sure as the sunrise, God always faithful, you do not change. Fresh as the morning, sure as the sunrise, God always faithful, you do not change. carry, shining and certain through all our turmoil, turmoil and loss, bonding us gladly one to the other till our world changes facing the cross. Fresh as the morning, sure as the sunrise, God always faithful, you do not change. Fresh as the morning, sure as the sunrise, God always faithful, you do not change.
Please be seated. Simply a couple of announcements before we start. Please remember that all the services through the week start at 7 p.m. I know there's some confusion. Some thought 7:30, but they're at 7 p.m. And next Sunday evening, January 26th, at 7 p.m., the Archangel Raphael and Saint Marina Coptic Church, the service will have special guests, the General Secretary from the Council of Canadian Churches, Peter Note Boom, and the Vice President Pat Lovell. So it'll be cool to have those guests in our midst for that service at the Coptic Church. And as the various leaders of the church come forward for their part today, they will be saying what congregation they are from, so you can put names and faces and churches together. Please turn to the words of welcome. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, we have assembled here to pray for unity among Christians and reconciliation in the world. Divisions among Christians have existed for many centuries. This causes great pain and is contrary to God's will. We believe in the power of prayer. Together with Christians all over the world, we offer our prayers as we seek to overcome separation. The resources for this year's Week of Prayer for Christian Unity have been prepared by different Christian churches in Malta. The history of Christianity in this small island nation dates back to the time of the apostles. According to tradition, St. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, reached the shores of Malta in the year 60 CE. The narrative describing this eventful and providential episode is conveyed to us in the final two chapters of the book of Acts. This text signals the beginning of Christianity in Malta, a small country made up of two main inhabited islands, Malta and Gozo, as well as other islets at the heart of the Mediterranean Sea, halfway between the southern tip of Sicily and the northern coast of Africa. This biblical land lies at the crossroads of civilization, cultures, and religions. Our prayers and reflections today, during this week of prayer for Christian unity, are centered on the hospitality shown to the islanders by those who had been shipwrecked. They showed us unusual kindness. Acts 28:2. May the love and respect we show each other today as we pray for Christian unity be with us throughout the whole year.
My name is Francis Salesier. I am the pastor at St. Raphael Parish, Burlington. Spirit of love, come upon this assembly and dwell among us. Come, Holy Spirit. Spirit of unity, show us a path towards Christian unity.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Spirit of hospitality, teach us to be welcoming. Spirit of compassion, instill within us an attitude of respect to all those whom we meet.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Spirit of hope, help us to detach ourselves from all hindrances to our ecumenical journey.
Come, Holy Spirit.
John Veenstra, I'm associated with New Street Christian Reformed Church. Forgive us, Lord, for our past mistakes, mistrust, and misdeeds between Christians from different churches and traditions.
Lord, have mercy.
Forgive us, Lord, for remaining in the darkness rather than seeking the path of light. For you, O Lord, are the only true light.
Lord,
forgive us, Lord, for our lack of faith and for our failure to be people of expectant hope and authentic charity.
Lord, have mercy.
Forgive us, Lord, for having caused pain, hardship, and anguish to others.
Lord, have mercy.
Forgive us, Lord, for isolating ourselves and remaining indifferent instead of showing hospitality to all, especially strangers and refugees.
Lord, have mercy.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. As the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. Amen.
We'll now join together in the hymn, Jesu, Jesu, Fill Us With Your Love. It's number 593 in Voices United, which is the hardcover hymn book. There's lots of those in the pews. Number 593, Jesu, Jesu, Fill Us With Your Love. Please stand.
Jesu, Jesu, fill us with your love. Show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you. Kneel at the friend of his friends, silently washes their feet. Master who acts as a slave. Jesu, Jesu, fill us with your love. Show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you. Neighbors are rich and poor, varied in color and race. Neighbors are near and far away. With you, Jesus.
I'm Michael Brooks, and it's my privilege to serve at Port Nelson United Church here in Burlington. And we now turn in our service to the reading of God's holy word for us today. I invite you to join me in the response as printed. Father in heaven, open our hearts and minds to your word. Your words are spirit and life. Lead us to grow closer to each other in unity and charity. Our first reading is from the book of Acts, which is the focus of our week, and we read of Paul's journey to Rome and the arrival on the island of Malta, and this will actually be a video reading that we will watch on the screen.
Hoisted it aboard, they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together. Fearing that they would run aground on the sandbars of Syrtis, they lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. After the men had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said,
"Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God whose I am and whom I serve stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So, keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island.'
On the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea when about midnight the sailors sensed they were approaching land. They took soundings and found that the water was 120 feet deep. A short time later, they took soundings again and found it was 90 feet deep. Fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers,
'Unless those men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved.'
So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it fall away. Just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat.
"For the last 14 days,
he said,
"you have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now, I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head."
After he said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. Then he broke it and began to eat. They were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. Altogether, there were 276 of us on board. When they had eaten as much as they wanted, they lightened the ship by throwing the grain into the sea. daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach, where they decided to run the ship aground if they could. Cutting loose the anchors, they left them in the sea and at the same time untied the ropes that held the rudders. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and made for the beach. But the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow stuck fast and would not move, and the stern was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping. But the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to get their own planks or on pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached land in safety. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other,
"This man must be a murderer. What though he escaped from the sea? Justice has not allowed him to live."
But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and for 3 days entertained us hospitably. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him, and after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. When this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. They honored us in many ways. And when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God who saves and heals.
The responsive psalm is Psalm 107. And I invite you to join in the spoken response as printed. The Lord has delivered us from the mighty waves. The Lord has delivered us from the mighty waves. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. For he satisfies the thirsty, and the hungry he fills with good things. The Lord has delivered us from the mighty waves. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them, and delivered them from destruction. The Lord delivered us from the mighty waves. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind, and let them offer thanksgiving sacrifices, and tell of his deeds with songs of joy. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they had quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. The Lord has delivered us from the mighty waves. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders.
The Lord has delivered us from the mighty waves.
I'm Colin Cameron. I'm the pastor at Holy Cross Lutheran Church. Our gospel reading today is from Mark chapter 16, verses 14 to 20. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 themselves as they were sitting at the table, and he upbraided them for their lack of faith and stubbornness, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation. The one who believes and is baptized will be saved, but the one who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. By using my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up snakes in their hands, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and proclaimed the good news everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by the signs that accompanied it. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I usually preach in a little different style, and so you will, I'll be asking you questions, and then I'll ask you to gather together in groups to discuss some things. So just be prepared for that. How many of you have ever been on a boat? Put your hand up if you have. Awesome. Thank you very much. You know this is just to keep you awake this afternoon, right? How many of you have ever been seasick on a boat? Anyone? Not much fun, is it? I am Alan Warren, the minister here at Appleby United Church, and today's message, they showed us unusual acts of kindness. And I want to thank you for coming to this service in the afternoon, because it is a great witness that we can gather together as a service and as people of Christ. Today you will learn an exercise to help give you courage and to ground you in the love of God. And you will discover again the act of sharing a meal, as Jesus did with others countless times, is the foundation not only of the church, but living out God's love in the world. Now, can I tell you a little bit of my own story this afternoon? I see some raised eyebrows. I heard a shirt. Thank you very much. I crew regularly on a 30-foot express out of Port Dover on Wednesday nights from the beginning of June till the end of September. It is race night. And one year I did half of the Lake Erie Inner Club, which is a series of races from Erie, Pennsylvania, around the lake to Port Dover. And that year, the Port Colborne to Port Dover leg was incredibly interesting. Headwinds of 25 to 26 knots, gusting to 34. Every available body was hanging over the windward side of the boat as rail meat, as it is called, to counterbalance the effect of the wind. And lo and behold, waves and water spray was constantly washing over you. Thank goodness I wasn't the closest to the bow, so I got sheltered somewhat from the waves. It certainly gave a taste of what Paul went through in this passage of Scripture today. And the theme for this service is, they showed us unusual kindness. I don't know about your church, but here at Appleby, now is the time for getting annual reports together. And so this afternoon, I want you to think about the various ministries that your church is involved in. Pick out one or two of them, and then you're going to share them with the person around you. The acts of unusual kindness that your church does for people that are washed up on the shore in your community. Now, please try and find someone that doesn't go to your church. Introduce yourself, say what church you're from, and then share the unusual acts of kindness your congregation is involved in. So you may need to get up, do a little musical chairs to find someone who's from a different congregation. Please go. Please stop. Thank you. And I know you said we just got started. Well, there's going to be coffee and tea afterwards so you can continue your stories. Does anybody want to briefly shout out a description of the acts of unusual kindness that your congregation does? Refugees. Thank you very much. Anything else? What projects?
Serve?
Wow, cool. I got to ask you about that. Next? Thank you. The Friendship Club. Wonderful. Anybody else? Food bank. Thank you very much. I heard a couple congregations shout out that out. Thank you. There you go. I was going to say that sounds like Wellington Square, but I know you're from Port Nelson, so there you go. But food voucher program.
Visits to Homebound.
Our community cares in the East End. Like, just think of all the things that the communities of faith in Southeast Burlington do. It's absolutely amazing. So thank you for all your work, all your ministries. They're wonderful. In the midst of the raging storms, Paul says, "Do not be afraid." Now, do those words sound familiar coming off the Christmas season? Have you heard them before?
Yes.
Who says those words?
Angels, thank you. Who does the angels tell? Shepherds. Anyone else? Mary, thank you. Any others? Elizabeth, thank you. Joseph, all of us, thank you. Because I want you to add your name to that list of people this afternoon as you go about your mission of unusual kindness in your neighborhood. Do not be afraid, because I am very aware that when the storms are raging about you, you need to be very intentional about where you place your feet on the ship and what you hold on to as you make adjustments to the sails and change course and wind direction. Gusts of wind are both a part of sailing and ministry. So are you ready to practice putting your name on that list this morning? This afternoon, bad habit of ministers. Okay, what I want you to say is, you're going to say your name, followed by the words, do not be afraid. You ready? Alan, do not be afraid. Say it again, please. Alan, do not be afraid. Now, I want you to encourage one another, so turn to someone around you, find out their name, and say, you know, Colin. Do not be afraid. So find someone around you and tell them not to be afraid. Thank you, Mary. Do not be afraid. Wonderful. You can tell others on coffee afterwards. Let those words soak into your soul. Because if you focus on the wind and the waves, you are not focusing on what you need to grab onto next, which is vitally important in a storm. Getting washed overboard is no fun. I know the crew will come back for me, but it's not an experience you want to live through. Do not be afraid. Now, in the midst of the storm, there is another fact you can lose sight of. The angel said to Paul, and God in his goodness to you has spared the lives of all those who are sailing with you. As you read the local news, the bushfires out of control in Australia, the downing of the Ukraine airline, the increased rhetoric between Trump and Iran, the ongoing list of unsafe and unhealthy low-income apartments in our communities can easily cause us to doubt the goodness of God, that there is a God, or goodness in God's creation. So while others around you are losing their heads and the sailors we're preparing to abandon ship in a lifeboat, you need to keep yours. You have Christ, and the assurance of the goodness of God, or God's never-ending love and grace, hang on to it. Immerse yourself in it. Last week, I asked the members here at Appleby to repeat the following phrase to themselves every morning when they got up and looked in the mirror, and as often throughout the day as needed. Does anyone remember what God said to Jesus at his baptism last week as he came up out of the water? Thank you. You are my beloved. It can also be, you are my own dear child in whom I am well pleased. So what I want you to do is you're going to put your name, Alan. You are my own dear child in whom I am well pleased. Be prepared to be blessed by God. Are we ready? Your name and the following. Alan. You are my own dear child in whom I am well pleased. One more time, please. Alan,
You are my own dear child, in whom I am well pleased. Say that to yourself every morning as you look into the mirror, which isn't always pretty. And as I said, as many times as you need throughout the day to remember that you are a beloved child of God. Paul then told the crew to take courage, for I trust in God, repeating that phrase we just said as often as needed helps me to take courage throughout the day, throughout the week, and to trust in God's immeasurable love and grace. Now, do you remember what else Paul did to help the crew take courage in the midst of this storm? Thank you very much. They ate. He took bread, gave thanks to God, broke it, and began to eat. Do those words sound familiar at all? Yes. Taking bread, blessing it, breaking it, and sharing it. The Eucharistic words that Jesus said both at the Passover meal, the feeding of the 5,000, and other times. In the Church Movement book, Dan White Jr. states, "The church is not formed around a stage, or I would add a building, but around a table. Not just the Eucharist table, but the regular habit of breaking bread and eating, both with neighbors and strangers alike, as Jesus did. Because it is through a shared meal we get to know each other's stories, and we get to bless one another and to affirm one another's goodness. Shared laughter, shared tears, through which we communicate God's love both for us and between us." And I want to thank Annika for the opportunity for some of the leaders to share a meal in the parlor before the service here today. Now, as the ship, cast, and crew were washed ashore, we find those extraordinary words. They showed unusual kindness towards us. Might all our churches be known as showing unusual kindness to the people in our community, the lost, the lonely, those with it together, the successful, and those who struggle to make it through the next hour, not alone maybe the next day? Can we build a fire to make others feel welcome, the warmth of the fire of friendship, hospitality, forgiveness, compassion, and the safety to tell our stories without being judged as inadequate? Natural disasters seem to pull people together. Shipwrecks, plane crashes, hurricanes. My wife Margot loved reading Jose Andres' story, We Fed an Island, about how a cook does what cooks do: feed people. He did it in Puerto Rico after Hurricane Maria, restoring hope one meal at a time. And guess who was one of the first people on the ground after Hurricane Dorian devastated the Bahamas? Jose Andre. In the year that is before us, may each of our congregations find ways to participate in acts of unusual kindness, not only to the people that live around our church buildings, but also the people we bump into throughout the week, neighbors and strangers alike, God's children all. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our next hymn is number one from More Voices. It's the soft-covered hymn book. I know there aren't many. Let Us Build a House, number one. The soft-covered hymn book, or the words on the screen. please stand?
Let us build a house where love can dwell and all can safely live. A place where saints and children tell how hearts learn to forgive. Built of hopes and dreams and visions, rock of faith.
Please be seated. My name is Emma Duncan. I'm the minister at Knox Presbyterian Church in downtown Burlington. Let us continue our worship as we proclaim our common faith. Dear brothers and sisters, we are united in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us proclaim our common faith in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation we come down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who is with the Father and the Son, is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in the one Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Good afternoon. I am Anthony Wadi, the priest of Archangel Raphael and St. Marina Coptic Orthodox Church in Burlington. We cannot face the storms of life alone. A boat moves forward when all row together. In the face of difficulties, we recognize the need to pull together and to unite our efforts. Let us pray. Reconciliation.
Gracious God, heal the painful memories of the past which have wounded our children, our churches, and continue to keep us apart.
Hear our prayer for reconciliation.
Enlightenment.
Gracious God, teach us to fix our course on Christ, the true light.
Hear our prayer for enlightenment.
Hope.
Gracious God, strengthen our confidence in your providence when we feel overwhelmed by the storms of life. Hear our prayer for hope.
Trust.
Gracious God, transform our many separations into harmony and our mistrust into mutual acceptance.
Hear our prayer for trust.
Strength.
Gracious God, give us the courage to speak the truth with justice in love.
Hear our prayer for strength.
Hospitality.
Gracious God, dismantle the barriers, visible and invisible, that prevent us from welcoming our sisters and brothers who are in peril or in need.
Hear our prayer for hospitality.
Conversion.
Gracious God, change our hearts and the hearts of our Christian communities that we may be agent of your healing.
Hear our prayer for conversion.
Generosity.
Gracious God, open our eyes to see the whole of creation as your gift, and our hands to share its fruit in solidarity.
A piano solo by Mary Frankham, entitled The Prayer, Mary. Thank you. Mary, thank you. I'm Dave Ogilvy. I'm the pastor of Burlington Baptist Church on New Street. We've come together as one family of faith in Jesus Christ, so let us pray together in the words that he taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The people of Malta welcomed Paul and his companions with unusual kindness. We are invited now to greet one another with maybe not so unusual kindness, but kindness nonetheless, as we share with one another the peace of Christ. Come together as Christians and therefore as fellow disciples. As we yearn for Christian unity, let us commit ourselves anew to work for this common goal.
May God the Father, who called us from darkness into light, make us true bearers of God's light. Amen. May God the Son, who redeemed us by his precious blood, empower us to follow his example in serving others. May God the Holy Spirit, who is Lord and giver of life, strengthen us to endure the shipwrecks of life and reach the shores of salvation. Amen. May the Almighty and merciful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless and protect us now and forever. Amen. We will set out together to proclaim the wonders of God's love. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
I don't know about you, but I think this is a wonderful sight to see our pastors together. And I'm very thankful for this happening this afternoon. And we would like to pray for our pastors, and I would like to invite some of you people to come forward and lay hands on these men and women. Woman. I think in a small way this afternoon, this is a little answer to Jesus' prayer for unity, and I hope we continue to seek one another and be a blessing to one another. Let's pray. Father, it's with hearts of thankfulness that we come before you this afternoon. And Lord, we like to think and we do believe that you are delighted that you see your children together, that you see your children seeking one another to bless one another, to be there for one another. And we thank you for this afternoon. We thank you, Father, for your goodness, your faithfulness. We thank you, Father, for men and women who are called to be your servants here in Burlington. We thank you for our pastors. We thank you for our priests. We thank you for all those that go out and proclaim the good news. Lord, and we pray. We pray that you will bless the ministry of these pastors. We pray that, and we thank you that every Sunday your word is proclaimed, and will you give them integrity and boldness to proclaim. Father, we pray for the families of these pastors, these leaders. Will you protect them? And above all, Father, I pray that they will be supported, encouraged, and prayed for by their congregations, that they will know that we've got their backs, and that we will support and we will serve with them in this community. We pray for Burlington. Father, we pray that our little light will join together with many others here in the city, and that we will be a blazing light, spreading the good news and the loving kindness of Jesus Christ in our city. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We'll see you all tomorrow night at St. Raphael's Catholic Church on New Street at 7 p.m.
Our concluding hymn is Go Make a Difference. It's number 209 in More Voices. That is the soft-covered hymn book and up on the screen. 209, Go Make a Difference. Join me as we go out and greet people at the end, and the peace of Christ with you all.